Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
The Ford F-150 truck helps you get the job done in the smartest way possible. New features like the available Pro Access tailgate improves access to bed and cargo, including when towing a trailer, so it's easier to load in tight spaces. Tough this smart can only be called F-150. Find your local Ford dealer at Ford.com. Pro Access tailgate available starting spring 2024. See owner's manual for important operating instructions.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, Bully Ray, Tommy Dreamer, and I talk all about AEW Dynamite from last night. We talk about the acclaimed scissoring celebration. We talk about that. We also get into Wheeler Yuta and MJF, the opening contest on Dynamite. And speaking of Wheeler Yuta, we talk to him live right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Wheeler Yuta, who we saw in the opening contest last night against MJF, he's going to join us at 11 a.m. Eastern Time this morning. Looking forward to talking to Wheeler Yuta because, guys, we've talked a lot about Wheeler Yuta the last few weeks, and I thought a hell of a way to start off Dynamite last night with him and MJF.
I loved it. I thought it was a great match. There's a lot of I went and looked up about more stuff about Wheeler Yuta. I can't wait to talk to him on the show. Guy's 25 years old. If I could think about Bully or myself at 25 years old, I'm in my feud with Raven. I want to say the Dudleys are, you know, working. And they're having, you're finding yourself. And there were so many points for me, especially as a babyface, to find my path and then having different opponents. My first one to get over was the Sandman, but I wasn't there yet. And then I needed Raven to help me. And I feel like MJF could be Yuta's Raven. And those two guys tore it up. MJF did a lot of great things, and especially what I love the most about MJF was he did a lot of great things and also kept on still being a heel.
And it seemed like almost at the end of that match, he was conflicted as a heel. He seemed a little bit conflicted. Bully, what did you think of that opening contest last night?
I thought it was good. That's about as far as I'll go with it. Good. That was MJF's first match in a long time, I believe. Definitely saw a tiny bit of rust on MJF. It wasn't the Yuta match that we've been used to over the past couple of months. Yuta working some very, very strong matches, I believe, against, you know, like Danielson or Moxley. It almost seems like Yuta had to knock it down a gear just so MJF could get his wheels up underneath him and get his timing back in the ring. So I thought it was good. I still, the jury is still out for me on MJF tapping out Yuta as cleanly as he did. Not sure how I feel about that. Tommy, you got an opinion on that?
The way he did it was good. I would have loved to see him cheat.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty, yeah, that's the obvious thing, right?
And it would have helped continue the build. Both guys got over in the match. How they structured the match too. I love like the false finishes that they went into, which were at the end of a match, which a lot of people put false finishes in the beginning of their match. the two guys built their match, I felt, properly. And then that double clothesline, it was a buildup of a symphony of beautiful wrestling maneuvers back and forth and musical beats. And the best part about it, the fans last night loved it. And then when they did that double clothesline and a double down, it was like, we have a chance to breathe. But gosh, what I love, what I just saw. And I love those type of matches. In that sense, because it told a great story. It had a great story afterwards. To Bully's point, helping your baby face, you know, for Tommy Dreamer or for a lot of people, you'd have to pull my arm out. You literally would have to rip my arm out for me to tap as a straight up baby face. And I don't even want to say pass out, because sometimes some of us baby faces like pain. But I would have loved to have seen something different. I mean, they were so close to the ropes. The way he torqued it, he could have flipped over, kept one foot on the rope, and the people would have been so pissed while he had, you know, the arm where you could have trapped it to a hammerlock as he tried to cover, as well as put the arm. There was a lot of different things you do it. And then the story after, which I really, really loved. And kudos also to William Regal, who I really do feel that adds so much to commentary. And also talking about being a villain. And I just loved like his little things, and also putting a button or a stamp on why I've done a lot of bad things that I'm not proud of, especially when I was younger, but I never put my hands on you, Tony Schiavone. Hey, and he said, I was the OG of making fun of you, Tony.
Yeah, he was the ODV, the ordinary devious villain, ODV.
Brilliant. But I never took liberties with people that, you know, when you're a competitor is one thing, but, you know, you're not. And I liked all that stuff. And at the end, in his very, very cavalier, yet William Regal's going to come in. And when he put on those brass knucks, ever so slow, and this is where, you know, the veterans will tell you, make everything mean something. Little means so much more. The way he did it, the way he crooked his neck and slowly started towards the ring. It was like, okay, bro, you want to, you know, fight me, but I got this. And it was a nice little setup, which I'm hopefully, I don't want to say ends with a Regal versus MJF match, because I don't think Regal could wrestle anymore, but it still kept Regal as a, man, this guy's still got something. And that one punch, I'm sure he could always deliver it.
You did not like it, Bully and Tommy. You kind of questioned the fact that Wheeler Yuta tapped out, but it does make sense in the context of the story that they were telling. If MJF cheated to win, then you wouldn't have had what took place immediately after that match. And it seemed like MJF was conflicted about himself and Wheeler Yuta after that match, because Wheeler Yuta had extended his hand, and MJF actually, for a second, I thought, was going to shake Wheeler Yuta's hand. He seemed conflicted about it. Then Lee Moriarty comes in and attacks Wheeler Yuta from behind, and MJF got pissed. So, and then we saw Stokely Hathaway come with the ring and everything else. So, like, Bully and Tommy, and Bully, I'll start with you. What do you think they're doing right now with MJF? Because the last thing I would have thought would MJF be conflicted about his personality and character, but that's exactly what happened immediately after that match last night.
I'm not quite sure. MJF could turn babyface in the snap of a finger in that company, and the people would love him for it. Maybe they're slow playing this and planting some seeds. I'm not big into the whole Stokely Hathaway act with Lee Moriarty and all those guys. It's just not my cup of tea. I did, however, love the interaction with Regal and MJF. Takes me back a couple of weeks ago when I said it would have been amazing if Taz would have came to Schiavone's rescue and actually stood up in MJF's face, because last night you saw what we got with Regal and MJF with the ring and the brass knucks. MJF did look conflicted. It looks like he wanted to shake Wheeler Yuta's hand after the match. Do you guys agree that if they ever decided to turn MJF babyface, he'd be the most beloved guy there right now?
Yes. Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. And it's really simple to play. You can make your picks and submit your entry in less than 60 seconds. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use code BUSTED for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code BUSTED for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
If you missed anything this week on Mad Dog Sports Radio, I got you covered. It's Mike Babchick's Morning After, where we play back the best clips of the week and recap in a way you have never heard before. It's a roast like no other, and no one is safe. Not Mad Dog, not anyone. This is a Morning After walk of shame you actually won't regret. You can find Mike Babchick's Morning After on SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow the show so you never miss an episode.
What a fun segment last night with your tag team champions, the Acclaimed.
I loved it. I loved everything about it. There was a line he just hit, which should also be their catchphrase, because, man, it was so good. I loved the whole thing. It was exciting. It was fun. It was truly sports entertainment. Anthony Bowens knocked it out of the park. Max Caster knocked it out of the park. Strickland interrupting it was a great heat segment. Even Billy Gunn, the line about Billy Gunn about the t-shirts and all that stuff was just so good, so entertaining. It was fun, man, and that's what wrestling should be about. And the same thing when I'm explaining to you about this Sabrina Carpenter concert is the same thing that I'm explaining, which he even said, for our new viewers, if you're literally tuning into television and watching this ridiculousness known as National Scissoring Day, which was trending all day, and everything that they're saying, if you're like, what the hell am I watching? And everyone is doing it. It's an amazing thing to see and be a part of. And their explanations, everything they did was phenomenal, 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 phenomenal. I loved it. It reminded me of the Attitude Era. It reminded me of, it was an all-time great in-ring segment. Really, really enjoyed it.
It's amazing what you can get over when you are over. And the Acclaimed are over, and they're getting this whole scissoring thing over. Side note, my friend the Water Buffalo, big fan of the scissoring. As Tommy said, entertaining. And that's what it's meant to be. I did see some people on social media last night who were turned off by it. Not everybody is going to be in on this joke. But the AEW fans, the AEW faithful seem to love it. And taking like an excerpt from a Catholic mass where everybody
turns to... Oh my God, the peace be with you.
Peace be with you, or the scissoring be with you, and everybody scissoring. I mean, that's fun. Talk about crowd interaction. Think about, they should be doing that at every single show. Before the match, you know, before the match starts, everybody should, you know, the should be a moment where the entire crowd scissors one another. And if, you know, and then, you know, Billy Gunn says it, and if you're not down with that, we got two words for you, or three words for you, scissor me, daddy, you know, whatever. It's just, it's that D-Generation X moment that gets everybody involved. And then Swerve comes out and he says something like, oh, great, Billy, this is the second thing that you've done in your, you know, in your career that has, I don't know, whatever he said, you know, that's not politically correct or something like that. And they're just looking at him like, yeah, that's right. And it works and it's over. And that was one of the worst lines I've ever heard.
I am going to, you know, I'm going to argue about one thing, Bully, that you said. You talked about like the AEW faithful seem to love it, which is definitely true. But Violetta asked me about last night, the national, like she saw it trending and people were talking about, this could be one of those things. And you never know what that's going to be, right? some of this is organic and is never planned. This could be one of those things that does attract outside attention. This could be one of those things that get people talking and get people to tune in to AEW.
So you just brought up Violetta, who I would imagine, Violetta is a very conservative woman. Yes.
Yes.
Did you have to explain to her what it was?
Oh, no, no. She watched the segment with me last night and she thought it was hilarious.
Okay, so she wasn't offended by it.
No, no, no. As a matter of fact, the biggest pop for her was the same with me and probably with you, was like, you know, go to your neighbor to the left and to the right and, you know, peace be with you. Like, that's, you know, we go to church every Sunday, so that's a line right from Mass. Like, that is like, for those who get it, get it. For those who don't, it's just another line in the promo. But for those who get it, Jericho's the master of that, right?
So then what are you disagreeing with me on?
No, because like you said, like, this is like, some people on Twitter didn't like it, but the AEW faithful, they love it, which I get. But I think this is one of those things that people outside of that AEW bubble, it might grab them. It might get some attention. They might see the trend and wonder, what the hell is this? National Scissoring Day. What's this scissoring stuff? And it might get people who don't normally watch to watch.
I mean, I don't know if you can really, I wouldn't hang my hat on that or bet a dollar on that. I mean, it's going to get over. Okay. But I don't think more people are going to be tuning into the show because the Acclaimed are promoting scissoring. I think it's a
no, but Bully, you know, this like DX and the whole suck it, like, obviously that was for the WWF fan base, but then it got over enough where people outside are like, what is this? And it got people to tune in to the program. Now, do I think that this is going to be like that? I don't know if there's ever going to be anything like that ever again, but it could get people from the outside curious enough to tune in and find out what it's all about.
Okay, we can sit back and we can watch every week and see. All I know is what I saw last night and what I have seen from the Acclaimed. It is entertaining. I thought the segment went a little long last night. I think they could have trimmed 3 or 4 minutes off of it. Remember, get in, get on, get off, get out, and leave them wanting a little bit more. Don't give it to them all every single week. And I thought the Acclaimed could have gotten out of there a little sooner last night.
You know, they could probably trim a little bit. There was enough pair of scissors to trim some of that off, but you know, hey,
trim some of that scissoring.
And if you also listen to the promo, they basically explain what scissoring is. It's a greeting. It's a handshake.
Yeah.
That is a great way to, and the
get around inside, it.
The insiders. Yeah. And if you think about in wrestling, the too sweet, that's a greeting. And when you're part of the Bullet Club, you're too sweet up top. Or like Gallows and Anderson, when they come to the ring, they too sweet the yeah. fans when they come to. It's a different form of a greeting.
Tommy, it makes me laugh. And, you know, and I'm going to go to something Bully just said, because I saw it too. Like, there were some people, and again, I hate bringing up Twitter because it's the vocal minority. And I think people love to bitch just for the sake of bitching. But I did a little bit of a deep dive. Maybe I did a little bit of a, you know, chasing the white rabbit a little bit last night. But mm-hmm. there was a couple of people in particular that were saying this is offensive, the scissoring thing, this is terrible. And then I look at them and they both people that I looked at were retweeting USA's tweet about DX reuniting in Brooklyn. Like, okay, I mean, are you serious right now? DX said, suck it. They did a chop of their crotch and said, suck it. That's okay, but this scissoring thing is not. I think, Bully, to your point with the social media, you got to take it with a grain of salt, because it's like, it's people just bitching for the sake of bitching. I think that's part of the problem with social media, is half the people who are bitching don't actually mean it. They're just trying to take a shot when they feel like it's a time for them to take a shot.
Listen, I'm not putting much stock into it. I'm just saying I saw enough tweets last night to make me say that maybe that's why I said the AEW faithful. I'm just saying I saw enough tweets last night that made me think that this could offend some people.
But fuck those people.
Time out.
I mean it 100%. Fuck them.
Time out.
Seriously. Enough of this shit.
Time out. Timeout.
Oh my God.
I'm just talking
vocal minority assholes on Twitter that just want to bitch for the sake
of bitching. He signs his new deal, and here we go.
Fuck them!
So one of the tweets was from a dad who said that his 10-year-old son or 10-year-old daughter said, you know, turned around and said, hey, what's scissoring? Kind of left him in a bad spot. So I'm just saying that
it's a greeting. Then that's when you say it's like a handshake. It's a greeting.
I get it, Dave. I get it. You don't have to explain it to me.
Hey, mommy, trying what does to defend suck it mean? When they're taking their hands and they're doing the crotch thing, what does that
mean? I'm just bringing up a point that I saw a couple of people who were offended by it. That's all. I'm sure. And you know what? I'm sure that there are more people that were offended by it than let on. I'm not offended by it. I called it entertaining.
But
if Abigail, your daughter, was to ever put you in a situation where she didn't understand it and you were uncomfortable explaining it to her, you'd understand where I was coming from.
But that's what a parent does. You know, parents are in a lot of uncomfortable positions where they have to explain
something.
Great.
When you tell your kid that, maybe it's a handshake, and then the kid goes to school and find out what it really means.
Well, that's what the kids were doing with DX back in the day at school. That's the whole thing that Strickland was saying when he came out last night, is like that you're getting people to get detention 2 decades ago, and now you're doing it again.
Suck it is
all I'm
pretty
saying
much
is
self-explanatory.
The same people that are bitching are the same people who are retweeting DX's reunion next week at Barclays.
Why are you getting so upset about
because
something?
Because it's just we put way too much stock in a few people on social media that want to spoil the party for everybody else.
I'm not putting much stock into it. I'm just saying I saw enough of it where I was like, some people might not like this.
Well, then they don't have to watch. Every day is a great day when you're not worrying about your appliances and home systems. And that's what you get with an American Home Shield warranty. Unexpected breakdowns like a leaky faucet or a faulty water heater won't break the bank with an American Home Shield warranty, because covered repairs and replacements are taken care of. Choose a plan that works for you and your budget, and then it's simple. When a covered item in your home breaks, contact American Home Shield, and their trusted and qualified pros will fix it or replace it based on the coverage limits in your agreement. Right now, you can take 20% off. Go to ahs.com/bustedopen now to save 20%. That's ahs.com/bustedopen for 20% off any plan. American Home Shield. Don't worry. Be warranted. See ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer.
This is Adam Schein, host of the Adam Schein Podcast, here to tell you you can listen to my podcast all year round. I'll give you my NFL picks against the spread, give you fantasy advice all season long, while being joined by the best guests in all of sports. He's Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers.
This is what I expect. You know, I expect to play well every year.
We release episodes of the Adam Schein Podcast every week. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast or listen on the SXM app, included with most subscriptions.
The Adam Schein Podcast.
We've been talking a lot about this gentleman, and that is Wheeler Yuta, who joins us here on Busted Open. Sir, how are you this morning?
Doing well, yeah. Thank you guys for having me back on.
Absolutely. And a lot's changed, by the way, since the last time we've had you on. And you've been on TV each and every week. And obviously everybody that watches you knows how great of a pro wrestler you are. But then, you know, standing toe-to-toe with MJF on the microphone and then building stories like you have been able to do, you've got to be proud and pleased over what you've been doing the last few weeks on Dynamite.
Yeah, I mean, it was really one of my first forays into, like, promos. I don't, you know, my wheelhouse has always been in ring. It's always been wrestling. So kind of doing that has been playing MJF's game a little bit. But, you know, being able to branch out and expand into that area of wrestling, it's very important, obviously. So being able to kind of do that has been very fun, and it's been interesting to kind of explore that space as opposed to just focusing on in the ring, which is what I've done for the rest of my career.
Wheeler, over the past couple of weeks, I've been very vocal about your microphone skills. I thought you did really well that first night with MJF, and I compared it to the first fight in the movie Rocky. Rocky didn't win the battle, nor did you win the battle, but you hung in there and you went the distance, which is more than I think a lot of people expected. And when I first saw you come out with a microphone, and I saw MJF with the microphone, I said, Yuta's going to get killed. But by the time this segment was over, I realized that, no, you held your own. You did a really good job. And then next week, I thought you took a step forward, obviously, in Philly with the blood on Broad Street line. So as a person who really appreciates a great promo and how talent can move forward in their promo work, I thought you did a great job, and I was happy for you. But here's my question. Were you happy with you? Were you happy with your performance? Were you proud of the fact that you were able to stand toe-to-toe with the guy and survive a microphone battle with one of the best in the business right now?
I was definitely proud, but I understand that there's immense room for growth. Like, this is obviously not where it ends for me with promos, with talking on the microphone. You brought up the Rocky analogy. Obviously, in the first movie, he doesn't win, he gets his ass kicked, but then as you move on from there, things start to improve a little bit, right? So hopefully, as I continue to sort of move forward, I won't just be the guy that's just kind of hanging with the other person. Hopefully I'll be able to really develop that skill set, really show that as well. But you know, I've had many reps in the ring. I haven't had as many reps doing promos, so I was happy with where I was at that point. But obviously, just want to keep improving, keep growing.
What was some of the, Tommy, real quick, what was some of the backstage critique you got from veterans or from others who heard you on the microphone those 2 weeks in a row?
I think the one that really stuck out to me was one from Regal, where he said, you have to just kind of believe more in what you're saying. Like the first week in New York, I think, like you said, I hung with him. I delivered my lines and I tried to do the best that I could, but it wasn't fully me. It wasn't fully how I would kind of approach the situation. I felt like I had to play MJF's game a little bit. So then coming out in Philly, I was like, well, my game is, I want you to come out and fight me. So I'm going to play my game. I'm going to try to get you to come out here and fight me. So really just having that conviction and believing in what I was saying and bringing it from my point of view, I think, was very helpful from Regal.
And a great person to learn from. Hey, your boss, absolutely, Tony Khan, comes on this show. And the first time, I didn't get you until John Moxley. And then I got you. And then I saw something in myself in the sense of, and then I've talked to Bully about it, where, man, when I was 24 going into 25, I had Raven, and what I saw last night, you've won me over, and I get you. And I told Tony, like, man, it's important when your boss sees something in you. Cause I was fortunate, just like Bully was fortunate about Paul Heyman seeing something in us. And what you said about getting those reps is so, so pivotal and key to your career. But I want to ask you something, because we all have this moment, and I hope it happens for you. Like, are you listening to the crowd / listening to how they're responding to you? Because you're connecting, man. And that's an awesome feeling.
Yeah, it's been great. I always try to go out there with the mentality that no one knows who I am, that I have to win them all over from scratch. So then every time I go out there and I hear like, oh, wow, they're reacting a little bit more to this, or they know what's coming here, or they're really invested in me, it really does mean a lot. And being able to build that connection with the crowd has been really special. So it's definitely something that I listen to and I notice, but I try to never take it for granted, because I also know that it can go away immediately. So I need to make sure I continue to build that connection, build that trust with the crowd.
Hey, I wanted to ask you too, like, one, like, who was your inspiration for wrestling? Like, did you have a specific person?
I definitely had a few. There's a lot that I would watch, but like Brian, of course, was a huge one. I think about like earlier things I used to watch. I used to watch a lot of Ricky Steamboat. He was a huge influence on me. But then as I kind of further got into wrestling, I looked more into like the world of sport, the technical wrestling from Britain. And that's where I got more of like the moves that I do and things like that. But yeah, I've had a lot of different influences, but those would be some of the main ones.
Because I'm trying to depict your style and the people that you're talking about. Now I'm getting it and just want to know more about you. And it's funny, you know, Bully and I, we didn't have social media growing up or analyzing every single aspect of what we do in the ring. And at times it could be very, very taxing. And, but like I said, you've won over, you're not going to win over everybody right away, but you've won over myself. You won over Dave. Bully, you've won over, and it's cool to see that for someone with your, you know, age level and that happening for you. So keep up the really, really good work, man.
Thank you, Tommy.
You know, Wheeler, we started off talking about that reign that you had as the Ring of Honor Pure Champion, you know, of almost 160 days. And I think anybody that's ever seen you in a ring knows you're an amazing wrestler, amazing technical wrestler. And you just talked about your wrestling background and who were some of your mentors and some of the wrestlers you looked up to. But in this business, like with AEW on Dynamite, there's obviously more to it as you're learning about how important it is to have a character, have a personality, be on the microphone. When did you first realize, all right, now there's more to pro wrestling than just what I'm doing in the ring?
I think just walking into AEW is sort of a big culture shock. Like, it's obviously like professional wrestling on the independents and professional wrestling on TV are just two immensely different things. And I had done some things before that were like pre-taped, but never anything live where it's really strict. Like, you have to hit this, you have to do this, and you have such a short amount of time to really grab everyone's attention. So when it becomes a TV show, it's almost a different beast. So really, once I got into AEW, I knew, all right, eventually I'm gonna have to do this, I'm gonna have to talk on the microphone, I'm gonna have to do vignettes, I'm gonna have to do things that are sort of out of my comfort zone. And now it's really where I'm getting the opportunity to do them a lot. So you're seeing it more now, but it's something I've been trying to work on for the past however long I've been in AEW, I think a year and a half now. So it's something that I knew, like, obviously I watched wrestling on TV as a kid. I knew it was coming. I knew I had to be able to do it, but that was when I was really like, okay, here we go. I have to shift the focus. I've got what I can do in the ring, but now that's not the most important thing, unfortunately.
Wheeler, a lot of the matches that you've had over the past couple of months have been very intense, very physical, the aggressive, fast-paced Danielson, Moxley. Last night, a bit of a different match for you, in my opinion. What was it like working, wrestling, fighting MJF last night? And did you feel you had to drop it down a notch or change your style to work with MJF effectively last night?
It was definitely a different pace, but I've wrestled MJF a bunch. We wrestled a lot on the independents. I think they even said we were like 2-2 in singles matches, and then we've had a bunch of other tags and different iterations.
But he hasn't wrestled in about 130 days, so there's going to be a degree of rust to somebody.
Yeah, definitely. Like, he hasn't been in the ring in that long, but I don't think I really had to step down or do anything like that. He went out there and he brought it. And I really enjoyed the pacing of the match. It was really nice to kind of, you know, hear, like you said, hear the crowd and hear how they were reacting to certain things. And it was definitely something that I enjoyed. But yeah, I think it was a little bit of a change of pace, but I don't think it was like I had to take a step back or anything. I think it was just a different lane that we took. But I really enjoyed the match last night.
I did too. And I said it before you came on about your false finishes. And for someone to be so young in the game and doing your false finishes towards the end of your match, because that's when you guys are more tired and you guys put in a lot of time into that match. And then with that double clothesline and not only giving yourselves that chance to breathe, but the crowd. And it was a beautiful art. And your false finishes with the referee, it was a symphony of professional wrestling, things that I love. And that's why I call it a great art form. And it told a great, great story for you guys. The aftermath, you being the consummate babyface, offering to shake the guy's hand and all the aftermath. What is next for you? Like I said, I see an MJF Yuta as a Raven Dreamer, which went on for a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, first off, hopefully tomorrow, get back on the winning track. We have a trios match, myself, John Moxley and Claudio taking on Private Party and Roosh. So hopefully we get back on track there. But yeah, I think that myself and MJF are going to be wrestling each other for a very long time. I think that myself and Lee Moriarty are now going to have to be on a collision course after the match with the aftermath and him attacking me. But yeah, I'm very excited to see where either of those go. Those are both guys that were around the same age. We've wrestled a lot before, both of them. Me and Lee have wrestled for championships all over the independents. Me and Max wrestled all over the independents. So I think that we're going to have a lot of those matches coming forward. But I do think that, yeah, Max is kind of the perfect foil for me. You say that he's the consummate babyface, and or I'm the consummate babyface, excuse me, and he's the consummate bad guy. So I think that that story will always be there, and I think that me and him will have a rivalry for quite a while.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, Wheeler, here on Busted Open, we take phone calls. So obviously these last few weeks we've talked a lot about you on this show, and you can kind of see and feel, and I think Bully and Tommy will agree, as we're taking calls about you, how many people are now buying to you as a personality and a character. You mentioned earlier about the pro wrestling, and I would think that that's kind of like your safe place because you're so good at it, and now you're kind of branching out into different things. Did you feel like you were kind of getting thrown into the deep end of the pool, standing toe-to-toe with MJF, or did you say, all right, if I'm going to do it, this is the way it should be done?
I think that once you're on national television, you're in the deep end. Like, you're no matter what, like I went out there, there's a million people watching. It's sink or swim every time. So yeah, being sent out there with MJF, it definitely was a challenge. Someone actually did send me the clip of Bully saying that he was going to tweet that it was like bringing a wet noodle to a gunfight. And I completely understand that sentiment from a lot of people. But yeah, I think that when you're in that situation, it's sink or swim. So you're gonna do well, and hopefully I did. And it seems to be that that's the prevailing opinion, or you're gonna sink. So I think that that's the way to do it. You're on TV. It's time to go.
And you did, and I told you this, and I'm sure you heard what I said on the show because I put you over to the moon, because you earned it, not because you deserved it. I actually had my phone in my hand ready because I didn't think you were going to survive. And then after the first couple of seconds, I actually dropped my phone. And then by the end of it, I was like, wow, he went the distance. You did not get eaten alive. And I did not feel like you didn't get eaten alive because MJF backed off. I felt you didn't get eaten alive because you got enough shots in where you held your own. So me and Dave always talk about show, and Tommy also, about how I like to be forced to talk about people. I want talent to force me to talk about them. I want to be able to come on this show and not have anything in mind to talk about, but go, holy shit, did you see Wheeler Yuta last night? And we were about an hour to an hour and a half into the show, guys, when after Wheeler's first week. And I'm like, look at how much time we're spending on Wheeler Yuta.
Yep.
Because you forced us to talk about you. And I don't know whether you realize this or not in your young career. That's a big deal. Because you're taking the number one wrestling radio show on the planet, and you're forcing our hand to talk about you. That's taking steps to get over, buddy. So, you know, good job. And I'm not going to spend the majority of this interview blowing smoke up your ass. But, but it's the truth. So, you know, good job.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
I love it. I believe your birthday's coming up in 2 weeks, right? You're turning 26. And I believe your birthday falls on a Wednesday, a Dynamite Wednesday.
It does. We'll be in Norfolk, Virginia for Dynamite that Wednesday. Yep.
All right. So, you know, being that here you are celebrating your birthday, it's going to be on a Wednesday for Dynamite. What would be your perfect birthday show on the 26th for a Wednesday?
Oh, my perfect birthday show? Well, really, I think it just comes down to I'd like to wrestle one of two matches. Either like another shot at my pure championship. I'd like to wrestle Daniel Garcia and get that match. Or I'd like to do Yuta Moxley 4. And I'd like to have a world championship match, just because I think that every time I wrestle John, and maybe I'm not there yet, but every time I wrestle John, I get a little bit closer, a little bit closer, a little bit closer. And I think it makes me better and better every time. And I'd love to see it one more time, see where I'm at now.
Wheeler, go in the opposite direction for a second.
Yeah.
Tell me somebody who's a complete 180 from you, style-wise, that you'd like to be in the ring with.
I'd really like to wrestle Dante Martin. I think that we would – I think our styles are just so different that I think we would have a blast wrestling in there. He's obviously a high flyer, so having to use my technical skills to combat that I think would be a very, very interesting style matchup. And then I can do a little bit of lucha here and there too, so maybe I could throw some of that in there, throw him off his game. But I think that would be a lot of fun, wrestling Dante.
Wheeler, as a career babyface, let me give you some veteran advice. Number one, make sure there's no birthday cake, or two, make sure there's no surprise presents for you, because it will never turn out in your favor. Just
you got it. I'll be on the lookout.
Hey, Tommy, this is a big one because he turns 26 on the 26th. So this is like a once opportunity. True. This is like a big one. Man, if Tony Khan's listening, I hope he gives you one of those two matches.
I got a world title shot on my 50th birthday, so the sky's the limit. I mean, pro wrestling 101, title shot on your birthday. Come on now.
Exactly. I mean, it writes itself. Come on.
Wheeler, you just said it writes itself. Going back to those promos with you and MJF, how much is written? How much is off the top of your head? How much is discussed? If you feel comfortable pulling back the curtain a little bit, fill us in.
So the first one, not a ton discussed. I would say that for the Philadelphia one, I had a pretty good idea of what I wanted to say going out there. I kind of really took the time to formulate my ideas a little bit more and try to iron it out a little more. I think that the first week I was like, I'm just going to go out and kind of do it. And then the second week I was like, all right, let me really try to take in all the advice everyone gave me, really workshop this, yeah, so for the second one, nothing was ever physically written down or anything like that, but I pretty much knew what I was going to say in Philadelphia, I would say.
Wheeler, thank you so much. Happy birthday. I hope you have a great one and appreciate you taking the time, especially since, you know, you had the show last night to take the time this morning. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys for having me. Really appreciate it.
Keep up the great work, man.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Cocoa Zing, and more. An extra large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.